This being my first Mass, I wanted to take the opportunity, if I can take your indulgence, to thank a few people who have gotten me to this point. Well, first of all, I guess I should say, I was on a silent retreat all week, too, and, retreats being a time period when we can really explore our emotions, I have not yet figured out how to put mine back again, so I may have difficulty getting through all of these thank yous, so we'll see. First of all, my parents, Mom and Dad. You are the reason that I am where I am today. I thank you for all of the times that I have been difficult to be around, and that you have persisted nonetheless. My sister, Deanna, much the same. We have had our moments, but I appreciate you. I have looked up to you all of my life, and I will continue to do that, and I thank you for that. My three kids, Ellie, Sarah, and Declan, I appreciate how you have supported me, particularly through the last 4 years of formation. I know that it's been difficult with me being away, and I really appreciate how much you have helped Mommy, especially during those times. To all of our friends who are here this evening, especially David and Stacy. David and Stacy are friends of mine from college. They drove in from Baltimore for this, so I really appreciate that. But and everybody who has supported us all along the way. Deacon Doug has been a wonderful mentor for me, and I think will continue to be for a very long time. Father Satish, you mentioned that I have been a good friend to you. I say the same to you. You have been a good friend to me, and I appreciate your support. And to all of you, to all of the parishioners of Cathedral St. Joseph, I appreciate your prayers. I appreciate the way that you have supported us over this formation time, and particularly three groups of people. First of all, our Scola and Tyler and Christy. You will get to experience later in my ministry that all they have given me in terms of learning to sing, so that won't be this evening, but at some point you'll get to experience that, and you can either thank them or blame them because they're the people who have taught me everything I know about that. Any OCIA candidates I've had over the years, there are several here tonight, and there will be throughout the weekend. You all are an inspiration to me. And the Sons of St. Joseph, you are as well. That, of course, only leaves one person. I could not have done this without the support of my wife. It has been a long 4 years. It's been difficult at times, but both in taking care of our children and supporting me along the way. I appreciate everything that you do for us. So now a homily. I hope to serve this diocese and this parish as a deacon for a very long period of time, and I hope throughout it that you can honestly say that the only thing I will ever call myself is a sinner. I am. When Pope Francis was asked once to describe himself, he famously said, "I am a sinner." That's the most accurate definition. So I certainly don't think I'm any better than the Pope. I too am a sinner, and I hope that you will continue praying for me and all of the clergy in our diocese. That is a hard thing for us to admit, though, is it not? That when we have done something wrong, we're too often like Adam and Eve in today's first reading. God knows Adam ate from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God calls for Adam and asks where he is. But he knows where Adam is, and he knows what Adam has done. It's a bit like playing a hide-and-seek with a bad hider, right? Adam, wonder where Adam is. If I should look behind that tree over there, that sort of thing. God knows where Adam is, and God knows what Adam has done. So why does he call for him? Well, first, it's a reminder to us that God is always searching for us. He's always reaching out to us. God is seeking Adam in that moment. But I also think he wants to hear Adam say what Adam did. He wants Adam to acknowledge that he wasn't supposed to have done what he did. So how does Adam respond to this? How does Adam respond to God seeking him and asking him specifically about eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil? He blames Eve. He says, "She gave it to me, so I ate it." So God asks her. And again, how does Eve respond? She blames the serpent. She says the same way. "He tricked me, so I ate it." This is all very human, isn't it? We've all done this. It's the easy way out. It's the way that we all want to take. It's not my fault. It's his fault. I wouldn't have done it but for this person. I wasn't speeding, officer. I was just trying to get home for this. Blame somebody else. It's his fault that he gave it to me. God knows that we sin, just like he knew that Adam and Eve had sinned, but he still reaches out nonetheless. What he wants is us to acknowledge it and be sorry for it. Sin is a turning away from God. It can be momentary or it can be momentous. Either way, and anywhere in between, sin is a distraction from our focus on God. Just like Adam hid from God when he sinned, so does sin distract us from God. What God wants is us to acknowledge that and then turn back. God even hints in this reading how much he cares for us. Our tradition is that the serpent is the devil. When God says he will put enmity between the Eve's offspring and the serpent's offspring, and that Eve's will strike at the serpent's offspring's head, tradition is he's hinting at the Redeemer. Eve's offspring, Jesus, will redeem us and destroy the works of the devil. In other words, just as sin is entering the world, God is already working on his plan of forgiveness for us. In the psalm, David shows us the better path forward than Adam and Eve. He says, "With the Lord there is mercy and fullness of redemption. With you there is plenteous redemption. God will redeem Israel from all its iniquities." David is crying out to the Lord for forgiveness. He's accusing himself. He's asking for mercy and trusts that the Lord is going to grant it. It's David saying, "I sinned against you, Lord. Please forgive me." What a better response than our human response? What a better way than blame shifting, than saying that it was somebody else's fault, accusing ourselves? Earlier this week, one of the readings in the Liturgy of the Hours, the readings that the Church gives us for the daily prayer, was from a 6th century monk named St. Dorotheus. He said, "If we turn away from our path of self-accusation, we will never find peace. We will be troubled, or we will cause trouble for others." According to him, we have to continue to acknowledge our own failings. What better example of the result of not doing that than Adam and Eve? When they refused to acknowledge their failing, they tried to blame others, creating that trouble that St. Dorotheus referred to. So is God saying that he wants us to feel guilt or shame or embarrassment that we've wronged him? No, not at all. God knows and loves each and every one of us, all our faults included. In John's Gospel, Jesus, talking to his disciples, says, "It was not you who chose me, but I who chose you and appointed you to bear fruit that will remain." In Isaiah, we hear God say, "I have called you by name. You are mine because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. I give people in return and nations in exchange for your life." And again in John, what does Jesus do when he sees Peter after the resurrection? He asks Peter 3 times if he loves him and lets Peter atone for the 3 times that he denied Jesus just days before. Think about how personal this is. Isn't it comforting to know that even knowing our faults, even knowing what we've done, God is still reaching out to us? God is still calling us precious. He's still asking that we just turn back to him. He wants to bring us back. Now, coming to today's gospel reading, Jesus again says that all sins and all blasphemies that you will utter will be forgiven. Whoever does the will of God will be my brother and sister and mother. His family has just been saying that he's out of his mind. Is the point then that Jesus is saying that we can abandon our own family? Again, no. Family is extremely important and honored in first century Palestine. He's not criticizing his own family, but elevating the concept of family to include all of us who do God's will. Those who turn away from sin, those who accuse themselves and ask forgiveness, turning back to God, those are the members of God's family. Far from wanting us to be guilty or feel guilty or be ashamed or embarrassed that we've failed, God wants us to know we will ultimately be forgiven. Christ undoes the effects of sin. We just have to turn back to him. That's what's so awesome about the sacrament of reconciliation, being a Catholic. All of our sacraments are, of course, awesome. But in confession, as long as we tell God our faults, we're truly sorry, we ask for forgiveness, and we promise to avoid sin in the future, we're forgiven of all of our sins. That's the power of the loving God that we have. So we can't engage in blame shifting. We have to be prepared to self-accuse. God wants us to admit the wrong and promise not to do it again. Regardless of our faults, we are precious to God, and God promises us forgiveness. We just have to be honest with ourselves, too.